everyone, and welcome to Behind the Mic Radio. I am your host, Dawn McIntyre, and so very glad to have you with us this evening. And also, I want to say a huge hello to my guest co-host tonight, Pam. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Dawn.
How are
you? My voice is going in and out, so you're going to have to bear with me.
Well, I will bear with you, and tonight I'm so excited. I know you are our guest. Everyone is just, they've been chatting all over social media about this all day, and so it's just, the hype has been building, and I'm very excited. Are you excited?
Oh, beyond. Can't even say.
And I'm sure you speak for many, many, many fans. Well, our guest this evening is best known for her portrayal of Heather Weber on the ABC daytime drama General Hospital. She began her daytime debut as host hour on Guiding Light. She is 4 times nominated for a Daytime Emmy for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Drama Series, as well as winner of 3 Soap Opera Digest Awards and winner of 2 Soapie Awards. She has also held roles on Ryan's Hope, Santa Barbara, All My Children, Bold and the Beautiful, As the World Turns, and Days of Our Lives. Other television credits include The $6 Million Man, The Incredible Hulk, Dukes of Hazzard, Fantasy Island, Silk Stockings, and Law and Order. Tonight, we proudly welcome Robin Mattson. Hello, Robin.
Hello. So happy to be with you on the phone and spending some time with your listeners. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so very welcome. It is indeed an honor and just a real privilege, a rare treat to have you with us. And the listeners, they've just been going wild all day. They love you.
Oh, that's so happy to hear. I don't tweet as much as I should, and I'm not on social media as much as I wish I were, and it's nice to know that people are still keeping, you know, following and keeping track.
Oh, yeah. Well, tonight I have with me my special guest co-host, Pam. Pam, say hello.
Hi, Robin. Nice to hear your voice again. I've been a fan for years, so this is a thrill for me, too.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And
since
I've been back on General Hospital this time, it's actually been, I've returned, this is for the 3rd time, and they've really come up with some fun stuff, and it's amazing the way they, you know, Heather jumps off a building and survives, and she gets thrown in the harbor waters and survives, and it keeps on coming. They keep telling me they're going to find a way to make it work, so I'm always happy to hear that.
Well, I think it's awesome. And first off tonight, what I want to personally congratulate you and the entire cast and crew of General Hospital on 50 outstanding years in daytime television. That is no small feat.
Well, thank you so much. We've been having some nice reunions in terms of that. The other day, they did a big photo shoot at the studio, and so a lot of the veterans from the last 50 years, were there, and Frank Valentini, our executive producer, he's like, you guys, this is not a party, it's a photo shoot. We've got a show to shoot here in addition to this photo shoot, which we did at lunch, and stop chatting, because everybody was just catching up, because we're, of course, you know, the day is very staggered. We start taping at 8:30, but the makeup call is 6:30, which means if you hope to get there on time, you're up at 5:30. And
oh, that's a long day.
And then, but many times, if you're only working in one particular set, you know, you can be done by 10 a.m. That could be a good thing. That's a lot of early for me.
Oh, yeah.
I like to kind of sift through the material and work with the other actors and run it. And, I'm a little famous for my work ethic in terms of, you know, going on set and blocking it and talking it and just going through it. I like it to be like you're not even thinking about it. It's just you're so comfortable there. And with that person that you're working with, and you don't know what you're getting when you're rehearsing with, thank God, my husband is so diligent and so helpful with me, because sometimes I'll come home, you know, and I'll get out late, and I'll go, honey, I know it's 8:30, 9 o'clock, and no one's had dinner, but I still have that 6:30 call, and let's sit down and start doing the work. And that's just how it works sometimes, that it can be a crazy demanding schedule. And then, you know, we're off for 2 weeks.
Yeah. you have that two-week break where you just kind of get caught up and it's time to start all over again almost, you know. And I don't know about you, but time just goes by too fast nowadays.
It is amazing. I was just telling my husband, he went out and got all these beautiful flowers for Easter and brought them home. And then I went out later and I went to the same place and I got more flowers and eggs and all kinds of things because it's right around the corner. And we're having company for Easter. And so we were just getting very festive over here today.
Well, happy Easter to you and yours. And, you know, I saw a commercial on TV for Easter earlier today and I was thinking to myself, you know, just it seems like just a few short weeks ago we were in the holiday season and here we are, you know, in the Easter season and it's like, time has just clipped off. I mean, we're almost into April, and it's unbelievable how quick time is going. It's just been unreal. And one of the things I was curious about is, what are some of your fondest memories you have of being part of General Hospital?
Oh, boy, you know what? That's just hard to do off the top of one's head because it's, as I said, three different trips over 25 years, it gets a little wild. So I'll work backwards a little bit. Working with Tony Gehry and having probably more storyline on this trip, by that I mean visit, has been phenomenal. I love him. And so it was a wonderful chance to work with him under sometimes crazy circumstances like, oh, we're burning the cabin down around Tony. And you can't run that. You can't rehearse it.
Right.
You're really going into a fire lit up room and hoping you get it on the first take and nobody gets hurt. And Michael Easton, who I love from One Life to Live, who was with us for a while, and the vampire story where he just threw me in the Port Charles Harbor. Now, Frank Valentini, our producer, he came over to me and he said, well, you don't mind if we throw you in the water, do you? I'm like, well, Frank, as long as I'm not in a bikini and it's warm, I know I could probably deal with that. But it's that thing that you've never done it before. You just, until Michael Easton pushes you over the edge, so to speak, you don't know what it's going to be like. But let me jump back to when I first came on and having those scenes with my son, Stephen Lars. It was so nice to be reunited with him, that character, and to have those mother-son moments. And Scott Reeves was such a sweetheart, and I will miss him dearly, and I guess he's got to pay for his crimes at this point. And so that was a really warm welcome from an actor I had never worked with. And then, of course, let's jump way back and go to Scotty Baldwin, who when Scotty and Heather were together, those were some really fun scenes, and it was fun getting to know Ken Schreiner, who had been on the show previously, but I'd never worked with him. I came on while he was doing a show called Texas in New York, and then he came back and they put us together. So, and Joe Kelly, Doug Sheehan. Sometimes I say that, and it's going back a little far, so not everybody remembers, but he tried to defend Heather and get her out of that murder that Anne, you know, when she wrote Anne's name in Diana Taylor's blood, sorry to get a little gory on you, but he had faith in her and tried to get her off. That was some, it was a little horrific, a little gruesome is what I'm trying to say. but it was some wild stuff to be able to have that range of scenes and different sorts of things that Heather experienced throughout the years was a great time. I mean, just a good ride from an acting standpoint. And the People magazine's on the stand with our 50th anniversary issue, and I think my quote is, if I'll come back if they're going to keep the Heather and she's that I know and love and is true to her ways and keep it going on and keep it different and keep it new. And there's always something coming up that I least expect, and yet she survives.
Yeah.
Well, so I had flashbacks in my head with everything that you were saying because I've been watching GH forever and a day, and I remember all of those scenes that you just spoke about. I absolutely love it. Now, I was wondering, since they've brought back so many of the characters from back in the day when GH was like, wow, you couldn't miss a second, which character would you like to bring back with you when you come back that hasn't been on yet for a while?
Well, I think there's a few people that are not revealed yet until they do our upcoming show with the Nurses Ball. And so I'm not exactly where we...
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure we are on the air dates. And we as the actors aren't supposed to spoil anything.
No.
For the viewers. So I don't know exactly where we are. But I'll tell you what, I've seen so many familiar faces, whether Leslie Charleston has been on, of course, Jackie Zeman, Stuart Damon's been on, Ken Schreiner, Jack Wagner, Christina. It's just, you know, the hits just keep on coming. Really, I can't, there's not a specific thing that sticks out in my mind other than I said, like, did John Stamos come back? Did he come sing?
Not yet.
So not yet. So we shall see.
I want him. I want him to.
Rick Springfield. I'm saying Rick Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get him. And John Stamos. If we could do that, I think it would be just about complete.
See, so, I'm not. Well, you know, part of that wish may come true.
You never know. We're just going to have to, you know, the diehard GH fans and fans in general are just going to have to keep watching. That's the best way to find out, I would say, for
absolutely
sure. Now,
because there'll be some big surprises at the Nurses Ball, and I don't have those air dates off the top of my head, but you'll see a lot of people there that are probably on your list.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Good deal. Well, now, in the years that you've been with GH, what has been your favorite storyline, be it one that pertained to your character or another in general?
I'm sorry, my favorite storyline that what?
That either pertained to your character or just a storyline in general on the show.
Oh. I guess I'm going to have to go with my character. I'm a little more invested in Heather than everyone else on the cast list. But the work with Scotty Baldwin, you know, with the Scotty and Heather and Ken Schreiner coming back to the show, and hopefully, you know, who knows, they might meet up again.
Oh, now that would be interesting.
Yeah, I think it would be
very
a lot of fun.
Indeed. And I think that for the viewers, that would be, you know, it would be a great kind of recreation of a walk down memory lane to see, you know, just to see all these old familiar faces from General Hospital back on right now is like a General Hospital fan's dream come true. Pam
yeah,
and I've talked a lot about that, and it's just been phenomenal the way the writers and the producers have just orchestrated all of this.
And the fans need to let them know that it's working. You know, they need to give them that feedback. They can't just take it for granted because there's a big ageist contingency out there that's like, oh, well, bringing back these characters, you know, that's not going to make any difference. Well, what are the 20-year-olds going to care about that? Well, I think they can get reinvested, that these are characters that the people that we have as watchers now know and hopefully love and are curious what they're up to now. And I think it's worked well from the writers and the producers' standpoint. I think they feel, you know, someone took a chance on us instead of filling the show with a lot of younger folk that a lot of the people that have been watching the show for a long time don't necessarily relate to. So I think this is good, and people, as I said, have to let people know that this is working and something they want to see and not take it for granted. But
right. People of all ages, that's for sure. And I know social media is a good place. I see them reaching out to Frank and Ron all the time on Twitter. So they voice their opinions no matter what they are.
Good or bad. Yes, yes.
Now, I've watched you on Ryan's Hope, All My Children in General Hospital. And on All My Children, of course, Janet from Another Planet, we can't forget her, and Heather Weber on General Hospital. Both a little bit crazy, but have spurts of sanity and always have goodness in your heart. Which character did you enjoy playing the most?
That's so hard, and I'm gonna go out there and go. Gina Capwell on Santa Barbara was one of my favorite.
Okay.
Followed that show. What?
One I didn't see. I watched you on everything else.
Well, see, that's how you don't know what a terrific little character that was.
Right.
She did some crazy stuff, and that's where I was really able to develop some skills in terms of comedy. So it was a great learning experience for me. But, of course, I'm loving Heather right now. So,
right.
I guess it all depends on what day you ask me.
Well, I was wondering, what do you think is the most misunderstood part about your character, Heather Weber?
Oh, gosh, I want to say she misunderstands herself, and she's just coming to this. She means well. She doesn't look good. You know, she just sometimes can't tell good from bad. And I've got to say, often her heart's in the right place for all the wrong reasons.
Right.
And maybe there's just something, you know, she's just wired wrong. She doesn't mean to be mean. Maybe it's a brain tumor. I don't know. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying maybe there's something wrong with the way she's wired that isn't, she doesn't choose to be evil. It's a means to an end.
Right.
And that seems to her, you know, her priorities are a little off. It just means she's got her own way of getting there. And she does have a conscience, and she does feel terrible. And, you know, it sounds funny, but I was running the lines with my husband about what happened with Stephen Lars, and it's like, well, I was going after the girlfriend. I mean,
yeah.
He doesn't understand that. I didn't mean to hurt my son.
Right.
And he said, oh, no, you've got to say that, because it wasn't, you know, there's funny things we all sometimes come up with. Not that Ron doesn't do us solids all the time, and I think he's got such a handle on the show, our head writer, and does such a great job and does bring humor to the show. But sometimes we get to put our little spin on it and add some extra touches.
Well, what characteristic do you like most about your character?
She's resourceful.
That's for sure.
And I was just thinking about that funny beat with Tracy's husband, and he was in the car, and I got stopped by the highway patrol, and I said my husband's had too much to drink, and I turn and I put a little, you know, smile on his face and talk to him like he's not dead, which he is. And it's all for the right reasons. I'm just trying to help Luke. I'm just trying to save the day because I think he was involved with this, but I know it's Tracy Quartermain's fault, really. But I thought that was cute. So that was a fun moment.
Well, I'm going to go off a little bit off the soaps here. I read that you're a gourmet chef. What's your favorite dish to cook, and what's the worst one you ever made?
You know, I did go to culinary school.
Mm-hmm.
I did, Warner Books published a book, Soap Opera Cafe.
Yep.
And I did host a show called The Main Ingredient for Lifetime Television. And I cook sometimes just therapy or, you know, it was a long day or a bad news day, and I was like, I just want to go in the kitchen and, I don't know, see what I got. Or I go to the store, and I just like, what looks good? So I'm inspired by what I see and what is seasonal.
Right.
And right now, we're kind of focusing on eating healthier and eating better and eating from the farmer's market and food that's sustainable. And as I said, my husband went out and he was like, I bought local navel oranges and you just brought home 8 pounds of local navel oranges. I'm like, I know. I was at the same store you were and I got more flour. And he said, well, let's just squeeze some fresh orange juice. So inspiration is my favorite thing to cook. What's good, what's fresh, I have a girlfriend who's an amazing cook. Her name is Erin Swing, and she's also a chemist, and we're doing Thanksgiving. So we're doing gluten-free gorgères. I love gorgères. Mm. They're, for lack of a better description, name for them, they're cheese puffs. But
okay.
They're rather healthy, and we're going to do like a wild mushroom risotto rather than a ham. So it's ever-changing. It's always evolving, and I love cooking with others and collaborating. They teach me more, and I loved culinary school. I'm so glad I went, and I love food, and sometimes going to a new restaurant. I have a close friend who's coming in town for Easter, and we're cooking for her for Easter. But she's saying, you know, we're going to go to this really interesting new place, and the chef's going to cook for us. And I can't wait to have someone else's freshest, latest idea.
That will be really neat. That'll be really neat. And it's neat to go places like that, too, because then, you know, it gives you ideas for things you can try, especially, you know, when that's kind of your forte anyway. Food is always so interesting. You know, it's fun to get in the kitchen and challenge yourself with new recipes, and especially those that, you know, you read them and you go, oh, my gosh, how am I going to make this? And then you do, and it's like, ah, I can't believe I did this. So it's, you know, it's a sense of accomplishment in a way, you know.
Absolutely.
It really
is. Which makes you feel good about yourself. And I think too many people have fear of failure, and they won't try things, and they think it's harder than fast food and buying, you know, 5 ingredients and walking them in something that's low cholesterol and using other flavors, you know, with herbs, soy, lemon juice, stuff that doesn't necessarily add a lot of calories is a great way to go. And I totally agree with you. It can make you feel really good about yourself, and it's a creative outlet.
And I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. When it turns out well, it's like, I did that. And that was a lot better than a cheeseburger and fries. And it, I don't know, it makes you feel good. Sometimes I just cook something really good for myself. And, you know, even if it's just me, it turns out nice. I feel good about myself, so.
Well, and the other great thing about being in the kitchen, you know, you can't really be a failure in the kitchen because, you know, if something is, you know, if you mess something up, you just toss it and start over. I mean, that's the beauty of it. So,
yeah.
And, it, you know, you start back from scratch, you start over, and you know, it's kind of like at first you don't succeed, try again. And I think that's what makes, you know, people really good cooks in the kitchen. I mean, some of the best chefs out there, you know, had those experiences to start with. And they didn't just all wake up one day, go to culinary school and you know, and had everything perfected, you know. So it is a part that kind of goes as you go.
And believe me, I've made plenty of mistakes, and I do exactly that. I'm like, that food's not going to win. It's not going to beat me. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it better. I don't mean to be wasteful, but... And then also I just pulled it up because I would like to mention the restaurant that we're going to. It's a new restaurant downtown.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Capital L-E, Capital K-A, Leca, and the chef is Remy. And I think we're in for something very special, and he's a very special friend of my closest friend, Aaron Walker, who we are hosting for Easter. I didn't want to mess up the name, but I just wanted to say that I'm really looking forward to some new interesting food. And the culinary in LA, it's so interesting how a lot of the new action is going on downtown.
Yeah.
So
that's for sure. Well, before we let you go, do you have time to take a call or two?
Sure.
Okay, all right. We're going to go ahead. We've got Michael from Orlando, Florida. Michael, you're on with Robin.
Hello, Robin. How are you?
Hey, Michael. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm just a little sad I'm not seeing you on General Hospital now during the 50th anniversary because you're my favorite character. In fact, I want them to give you an Emmy this year. I know you're in contention in the preliminaries.
Yeah.
But you have got to get the Emmy this year. You're probably the best actress on all the soaps, period. And I'm always tweeting Frank and Ron and letting them know, believe me, because I know that they do listen. Because I see that they change things now and then when fans tweet things to them in volume. They seem to change things from here and there. And I'm wondering, are you serving iced tea for Easter?
No. Mimosas. But I often do, because we have a kitchen garden, so we've got a lot of fresh mint, and we've got lemons, and we've got, I don't know, I'm making iced tea with chamomile and good stuff, but it's not my special recipe.
Oh, that was great on the show. I just love that, and I love the chemistry that you have with Roger Hauer. I think that's how you pronounce his last name.
Yeah.
I mean, you two should have been a couple on the show. I mean, I don't know what the age difference is, but you look great together, and you just, your rapport is just incredible.
I love Roger. He's so funny. He's so good. He comes up with so many amazing things, and he's just incredible.
Just a great rapport. I mean,
and there's a political situation there. Which,
oh, I know.
I
know. I've heard about it. I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I know. But
they were writing it, and they're still going to write me, but I did feel a little lost without Roger.
I know. But, you know, you said something earlier about ageism, and I agree with you completely. I see it all the time on soaps, even in real life. I mean, you go to apply for a job, and if you're not 25, no matter how great your experience is, I mean, they'll tell you any reason why you don't get it, or they'll give you a lesser position, and it's all over our country, and it's not just in in soaps, but I see it. I see even General Hospital. I mean, I love it. It's my favorite show on TV, actually. But I see it, and they hire young people with hardly any experience, and they give them contracts and bad
storylines. And half the time they don't work out.
Yeah, exactly. And they get rid of them a few months later, and they have boring storylines that are rehashed. And we want to see you. We want to see, you know, we want to see the people that can act. I mean, my God, you're like Betty Davis. I say it all the time. I mean, you don't look like her, but I mean, you just, there's like something similar in your, in something. I don't know what it is. I see.
People have said that before, and I certainly take it as a compliment, and I really appreciate your thoughts on that. And it, and ageism, as you're saying, it's everywhere. Aren't we supposed to be getting smarter, more experienced, know more, you know, learn from our mistakes? Isn't there a whole lot of stuff that conceivably is better about hiring someone that's not 20?
Absolutely. I run a small business, and I hire people. I try to hire older people because the younger people, like you said, they don't work out, or they come in hungover, you know, in the morning, or they, you know, they just don't do a good job, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I've got to say, I appreciate my job and appreciate being there and appreciate them hiring me. And thank you so much for your support and for watching and for you having your business and taking control of your life and empowering yourself at whatever age you are. And I'm glad you find time to watch us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I want to see you soon. I don't know if you're scheduled or you're going to be on in the near future, but I think you said on another show that Frank said you're going to have some storyline coming up.
Yeah, I did. And this is so crazy. I'm going to go over here and just tell you my last work date. I have air dates that look like, I don't know, the 16th of March, but definitely that week, which would start the 15th. I just can't see it here because we shot 5 shows in that day.
So in April. We'll see you in April then.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. That's
and I have got bookings in addition to that, which I just don't have the air dates for. I'm just telling you what I shot last week.
That makes me feel a lot better because I feel like just seeing you on the show, just it, you know, you have, I mean, I like everyone, most of the characters anyway, but you're just something special about you. And, you know, there's a few soap actors like that, and you're certainly one of them. And
thank you so much.
There's a group of us on Twitter that really, really like you a lot. And, you know, we will send emails. I sent an email to Frank today saying I want to see more of you. And, you know, and I'll do it. I'll go the extra effort. I'll take a little time out of my day, and I'll do it because you deserve it. You've worked hard your whole career, and you don't deserve to be backburnered, you know, for someone coming on a show that's 18 and they're going to give this person a fairy tale storyline just because. And I don't think it's the producers, Robin. It's the advertisers. It's corporate. It's just like what the Sony did with Young and the Restless. I mean, they come in and they get rid of a bunch of characters because Sony says to them, you know, we have to get our advertising rates up. We need people from 18 to 49 watching this show. So get rid of these characters. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's just the corporate world. We know that. But if enough people speak out, they can make changes.
Absolutely. You're so right. And I thank you so much for your support.
Thank you. And you have a wonderful Easter.
You too.
Okay.
Take care, my friend.
Thank you, Michael, for calling.
Thank you. Sure.
All right, we've got one more. David, you're on with Robin.
Hi, Robin.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I never got to see Heather from the beginning, but it's certainly nice to see you now. And I love what you're doing with what you did with Roger and all that. I just enjoyed every single one of us since you've been back.
Oh, well, That is so sweet of you to say, and I really appreciate it. And I love working with Roger, and I think he was terrific on the show. And unfortunately, we don't have him right now.
Yeah,
you
know,
no. Not his fault.
Politics.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that. But I miss his energy and his comedy and his just. But you know what? There's a lot of talent in that swimming pool, so I'm sure we can come up with some interesting, fun, inventive stuff that hopefully you'll enjoy as well.
I hope so. My question, I got a couple. My question to you, how much of Gina is in Heather and how much of Heather is in Gina?
So you did watch Santa Barbara.
I'm the Santa Barbara person, yeah.
I don't know. I keep them all pretty separate. I've got to tell you a funny story, and I think I'll leave some of the names out. They originally hired, they originally asked me to do the role of Gina on Santa Barbara, and they hired Linda Gibney, but that was all mutual. I went to do Ryan's Hope, and I went, you guys aren't ready to start yet, and, you know, do whatever you need to do, and I'm going to do whatever I need to do. And then they went, you know, we really would like you over here. And they were really great to me. And I got to work with Keith, Justin Dees, who, if you watch the show, you
yep.
know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, it was such a great, that experience was such a great value to me because he's so funny and he's so smart. And I've told my husband a couple of times, I'm like, Roger Howarth so reminds me of working with Justin Dees. I mean, they're different.
Yeah.
They're different people, they're different ages, but it was that kind of rapport. So if you ask me how much of Heather and Gina, they certainly crossed over there, but Heather and Gina were both about their children and a mother's love and doing anything for them, no matter what it took. I just think that Heather's a little more disturbed and more cutthroat, but she just doesn't see it that way. Gina was a little more, was more funny, and so when they hired me on to replace Linda Gibney as Gina, the producer at that time, you look it up because I'm not saying the name, said, can't you just be more Gina? Not referring to Heather, but she said, can't you be more Gina? And I went, I am, and that's why you hired me. And if it's not what you hired before, it's because I'm making the part my own. So I think with each role, that's what I do. I kind of reinvent it. And a skill that I possess is to make you forget about the last girl to play the part. Not
That's
always.
True.
But I think that answers your question. They're not all the same to me. They're very different. And reinventing them and making them, owning them.
Well,
That's
thank you very much,
that.
Rob.
Oh,
thank
you're
you
absolutely
very
welcome.
Much. And thank you, Dawn and Pam, for this time.
You're so very welcome, David. Thank you so very much for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, David. Thank you.
Well, Robin, we have thoroughly enjoyed having you with us, and it has been a tremendous treat. I mean, this is just, like I said, a rare, rare opportunity for us and the fans and listeners, and we couldn't thank you enough for being here with us tonight.
Well, I appreciate it. Dawn, Pam, have a wonderful Easter once again, and your callers were lovely and kind, and I'm so glad that I had the opportunity to do the show with you.
Well, thank you so very much. Pleasure's not ours. And happy Easter to you as well. And continue. We want to continue seeing you on GH. And again, congratulations on 50 outstanding years.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank
Take
you,
care.
Robin.
Okay.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we have just concluded our interview with Robin Mattson, and such a nice lady. I so enjoyed that. How about you, Pam? I know you did. I should even ask you the question.
Yeah, right. Well, it's funny hearing people on the phone because you've watched them for so many years on your TV. Whether I'm doing an interview with you, you're doing one with me, or we're doing our own thing, you know, and you just watch these people for so many years, and then to talk to them on the phone, it just seems weird, almost surreal, like you're part of a script.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't even, you know, it is surreal. You know, I had an interview the other day, and the very next day I was seeing them on TV, and I was like, this just doesn't seem right. For years you watch these people who have, you know, been in daytime forever and ever and ever. I mean, you grew up watching them, and you're still watching them, and they're just as relevant today as they were then. And, you know, back two decades ago, who would have ever thought we would have a platform like this where we could bring these people to us, to the fans, where, you know, they could talk and the fans could talk to them. And, you know, it just seemed like television two decades ago was, even heck, a decade ago even, was so, you know, far removed, you know, those people couldn't be touched. And now we're bringing them, you know, up close and personal. It's just what I love about this. But,
right.
And the thing about her is that, you know, she doesn't do a lot of interviews. So this was exceptionally rare. I was beyond shocked when I found out we were going to have her. So,
right.
So this has been a real treat for me, and I know for you and all the GH fans out there, it's just been hopefully a good interview for everyone tonight. So there's no telling when, you know, she would interview again. Who knows? So,
right.
Oh,
at least
my.
I'll have the podcast to listen to over and over until then.
That's exactly right. That is a good point.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to briefly announce that coming tomorrow night, for those of you who are Bold and the Beautiful fans, and you love that show as much as I do, then we do have Leslie Kay, who plays the role of Felicia Forrester, but she was also Maggie. No, I'm sorry, Molly. I had my names mixed up. Molly on As the World Turns, and so she is going to be with us tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, a little bit different time than normal, but we're so, so excited to be bringing her to us. And so all the Bold and Beautiful fans, As the World fans, just, you know, be sure and call in if you want to speak to her, and try to call in about, you know, 10 minutes ahead of when we air live so we can get you in queue and you can be sure to have your opportunity to speak with her. So it'll be a great show. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, give out your phone number now so they can jot it down.
It's 347-945-6965. And so, you know, feel free to call in if you'd like. And don't be shy. I mean, the guests really enjoy speaking with you all. And they, I think, you know, they do enjoy it because it is informal. And, you know, and they really do enjoy talking with the fans. So, you know, don't be bashful. Don't think of this as, oh, everybody's going to hear me. If you want to talk to, if this, you know, we have a guest that's your favorite and you want to talk to them, this may be your only opportunity. And what other medium is going to give you that opportunity to talk to them live on air? So take a chance and embark on that if you so choose. And you may not get that opportunity again. So that's kind of the way I see it.
Exactly.
So anyway, but well, Pam, thank you so very much for being my special guest co-host today. I really appreciate it, and I'm glad that you got to talk with Robin as well.
You're welcome, and thank you. I mean, that was, I can't even describe it. That was unreal, surreal, anything, any of those words, choose one, that's what it was.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that is going to wrap our show for today, and I want to say to everyone, have a very, very happy Easter out there. Enjoy your weekend. I hope it's a great one for everyone, and we'll be right back here tomorrow evening, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Good night, Pam.
Good night. Good night. Happy Easter. I didn't know if you were done.
I was waiting for you to say something. But anyway, good night, all, and we will be right back here with you real soon. Take care and have a great night.
Tonight's show has been brought to you by One Taste of Main Street Cake Shop, baked from scratch, custom-made cakes and cupcakes, and you'll be hooked. Every cake is made to order with only the finest and freshest ingredients. This is no ordinary bakery. Cakes are never pre-made. Main Street Cake Shop is in demand, having provided cakes and cupcakes for numerous prestigious events, bridal fairs, and venues. Owned and operated by April Murray, she has garnered many awards for not only her exquisite cake designs, but also for their incredible taste. If you're looking for a cake for any occasion, or cupcakes in a variety of flavors, then Main Street Cake Shop is the place. Visit them on the web at mainstreetcakeshop.com.